Here to talk more about it is totally, definitely not an impersonator, but the actual Ron Johnson. Welcome to the show, Senator.
Kristen, it's great to be here. This is what people in Wisconsin want to know. You know, what are the injuries that people have gotten when they go out and get their vaccine? And I've heard numerous things. You know, look no further than your own governor. If you want to say, what does a vaccine injured person look like? Well, he's addicted to ice cream and he looks like a scarecrow. So, I mean, those are some dead giveaways.
We've unlocked Oaklander.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Wisconsin. Welcome to the Thursday show of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. Very happy to be here. Less happy about the snow that is coming.
Yeah.
But such is spring in Wisconsin.
Exactly.
We're going to the Cubs-Brewers game on April 1st. And I texted a friend who lives in Chicago to let him know. And he goes, I don't know what's wrong with you people. It's still going to be cold. Like, do you guys have such short memories as far as how... I was like, well, I just said yes. If it's cold, I'll sit somewhere inside or something like that. But yes.
Yeah, you missed all the games at the old county stadium before it had a roof.
Yeah.
And going to opening day was more about survival.
When's the last time you went to opening day?
Oh, it's been decades.
It's during the week this week, right? Is it... When is it this year?
We'll find out.
We'll find out. I went last year and it was really windy.
Oh, was it?
I remember because for one of my last jobs, I was trying to do a segment on, because it was my first opening day, because I didn't grow up in Milwaukee, and two, I also left when I was 16. And so it was, and I think the year prior in 2021 was still when it was COVID and everything. So last year was my first opening day, and so I did like a segment basically asking people about their first opening day and what do I need to do. But I like, so much of what I got for audio was useless because the wind last year was insane.
Oh man.
And so hopefully, I don't know if I'm going this year, but
well,
I'm sure.
The regular season begins Thursday, March 30th against the Cubs at Wrigley, and then the home opener Monday, April 3rd against the Mets.
All right.
At AmFam Field. And the more, now that I think about it, the last home opener I went to was the first home opener at Miller Park.
So like 2001?
Yeah. It's been a while.
Wow.
And you know why I remember that so well?
Why?
Because there was a slight design flaw in the bathrooms, in the men's bathroom in particular. They were floor-to-ceiling windows.
No.
Oh yes. And
not the like confessional room kind, or like the interrogation room where like it's a one-way view.
No. And as my friend and I were walking out of the game, and it was dark by that point. But yes, there were some men waving at us, you could say.
While they were, could you see the urinals?
They were standing at the windows, waving at us. Not with their hands.
So, oh my God.
Yeah. So that's what I remember about my last opening day.
Of course you remember that.
It sticks with you.
Yes. I would say that's a hard image to erase.
Still trying to shake that off. It's like Brett Favre and the Crocs.
All right. Okay. Well, there is update on some Brewers stuff that we'll get to in a minute. But this show, we have, for the second half of the show, a ton of guests, which I am very excited about. Sarah Gadlewski is back to talk about some of the rallies that are happening for her PAC, Women Win Wisconsin.
Yep.
And so she's going to be here at 12:30, which I'm excited about that. And then Kate Fagan, who is a Emmy Award-winning journalist, and she's written, this is now her fourth book, but as someone who grew up playing basketball, in a family that is very basketball centric, I'm so excited to talk to her because the book is called Hoop Muses, An Insider's Guide to Pop Culture and the Women's Game. And it's almost like graphic novel, comic book style graphics.
Okay.
But it's also like starting back in the like a late 1890s when basketball was created, and like the history of women playing basketball and stories from like the 20s and the 30s. And like, it's really cool. So they sent us a copy. So I've been able to like flip through it before she was on the, she was coming on the show today. And so I can't wait to talk to her about it. Cause it's just, even though she played college basketball, one of her collaborators on the book is Simone Augustus, who's like one of the best WNBA players, like 8-time All-Star.
Nice.
WNBA player. 3-time gold medalist. Like, I'm really excited for that conversation. So that's at 1. And then Chris Drosner is back for his monthly recurring segment, giving us some new beer news. So that will be at the end of the show at 1:30. But to kick off today's show, there's been an Oplander sighting.
There has. He's out.
So quick reminder, if you do not know what you're talking about, I don't know if this is catching on. I know we think it's hilarious.
True.
And I think that's all that really matters. But Oplander, I think you can kind of think of it a little bit like how you think about Dark Brandon.
The meme about President Biden.
About Biden. Or the anger interpreter. It's not like a direct analogy, but it's in that world of...
A character.
A character that we've created... That mostly is also very tongue-in-cheek because it is, you know, not that I don't think Governor Tony Evers is a passionate man in his beliefs.
Absolutely.
But how he possesses that passion.
Presents
that passion. You know, it's the range is small. Let's put it that way. It's when he seems angry, it doesn't seem that angry.
It's a very Wisconsin kind
of
angry.
It's more of an exasperation than I'm going to run through the wall.
Yeah, outburst.
And so we jokingly call him Oplander, which is a playoff of Homelander, which is a character from Amazon's The Boys, which is a like... dark anti-hero, not even anti-hero, like he's actually the villain, but he's supposed to be like a Captain America type character in the public's eye. So it's a stretch, but it's just, Oplander's fun to say. So I was going through the news last night and I saw the headline that I was like, oh, there he is. He showed up. But that there was a luncheon, Wispolitics had a luncheon yesterday, and Evers demands Republicans tell him the damn plan as they reject his budget proposals. And we even have audio for this one.
Instead of saying we don't have enough money, tell me what the damn plan is. Tell me what, you know, they need to come back. I put my plan out there.
Though Governor Evers and Republicans will battle over the budget, he says, believe it or not, the divide isn't as deep as it used to be.
I think the tenor of the conversation is a little better than it has been. I think the Republicans were really hoping that I would be defeated, and now they realize that they're stuck with me for at least 4 more years.
As far as finding that common ground, shared revenue from the state to local communities is one area where the governor is optimistic, even if it means there are no local tax options.
So I think shared revenue will get an upper. It has to. They do all the hard work. You know, whether it's public health, public safety, courts, you name it, that's local expenses.
But a flat tax, like some Republicans were floating earlier this year, won't happen.
That's a dead issue for me. That will be a veto of a budget if I get a budget that is going to be a fair tax, which means that most of the savings go to wealthy people.
And that does sound courtesy of Spectrum News, by the way.
Tell me the damn plan.
But they're willing to work.
Yeah. I mean, and that was the same thing. That was from Spectrum, but the same thing from Wispolitics saying that the tenor has changed some.
Yeah. Because Robin Voss almost lost his job.
Yeah. But it's also another 4 years. You can't do 8 years of just not doing anything, right? And I mean, I guess you could, but
That's what they did for the last four, but you're right.
That's what I mean. And total yeah, eight.
And people are fed up with it.
And so, but you know, to be fair, they don't have their plan's not done yet. And so I think the frustration is less that they don't have a plan, but it's more that they keep saying things to the press about, oh, well, $7 billion isn't actually that much money. And there is a new report that shows that, right? Like, this is not unlimited spending. And when you spend half of it on buildings, potentially, which was part of the proposal, you know, there is, it's not, and it's also a one-time funding, right? Like, well, it can't be stuff that you are planning to have as a renewable resource because of the money that's still going to be coming in. This was kind of a windfall because of the pandemic.
It's a one-time perfect storm, I've heard it described.
Yeah.
Because again, you can't, it's not sustainable. We're not going to have this over and over and over and over again.
No. And so, you know, this is, they did announce, if you have feelings about the budget process and what you want to be prioritized, they have their public hearings for next month have been announced.
Yeah.
So if you are in Waukesha, so maybe you and I can go to this. Do you want to go see the Joint Finance Committee?
I would love to go see the Joint Finance Committee.
Talk to Mark Lyne and
yeah,
say what's up.
And then we could go out for drinks afterwards. It'd be great.
So that's April 5th in Waukesha. And then April 11th in Eau Claire. April 12th in Wisconsin Dells. And April 26th in Minocqua. So that is the four public hearings that are happening across the state for the budget hosted by the Joint Finance Committee. And it's a good opportunity. I mean, I don't know. I've never been to one of those before. Have you?
I haven't. But what I recall is the last time they had a public hearing on anything, for hours, everyone spoke against whatever it was that the Republicans wanted to do, except for one person. And then the Republicans went and did what they wanted to do.
Well, that wasn't the last one, but that is the most notable when it came to fair maps.
Oh, that's right.
It was 9 hours of testimony of people saying that they wanted fair maps. Then it was Robin Voss saying, I think the maps are fine.
La, 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 la. I can't hear you.
All right. Well, speaking of budgets and Republicans talking to the press, it sounds like, at least as it was written in Evers' budget, the Brewers deal likely dead. Come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Before you went to bed. Okay.
So roll out the barrel and strike up the band. Heavens praise Lombardi, the pack is back again. And I'm Wisconsin, the Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madner. What is that song from?
The one I just played?
Yeah, the one that we play for the news.
That's John Fogerty.
Okay.
Is it from a movie?
I don't know, but you know what? It gives me very like 80s sitcom vibes. Doesn't it? Like, it's like it's like the everywhere you look, everywhere, it's the heart. It's like very that kind of.
Sure, I can go along with that.
Someone with big poofy hair should be running down the stairs and smiling at camera.
We'll work.
Like a newsroom like sitcom from the late 80s.
We'll work on that. I'll get a perm.
Did you ever have a perm?
Oh, yeah.
Is there pictures?
Sure.
Can you bring me some?
I'll see what I can find. Oh, everybody had perms.
I know.
The guys had perms.
The perms are coming back. They're much healthier now. They're like organic perms. As far as they're better for your hair, they don't like burn it off, basically.
Yeah, that's always bad.
And so, all right. So we're still talking about the budget a little bit, but this, do you have strong feelings about funding the Brewers? I know we've talked about this before, and I had put it in my kind of roundup for news last night. Or no, someone asked me in a comment section last night about how I feel about the $290 million Brewers deal that Evers had put in his budget proposal that basically is funding renovations and necessary renovations. And the only kind of trade-off is that they stay for another two decades. And, you know, when Dan Schaefer was on here a couple weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and we talked about the deal, the thing that kind of stuck out to me was that the any developments on in the Brewers district
okay.
would be tax exempt from property taxes. And that, because I'm still very much on the team that there could be a lot more development around. I mean, I drive by it every single day, twice.
Yep. It's a big space.
It's a big space that is only used, really, for games 83 days out of the year.
Yeah.
And
maybe a couple shows.
And maybe a couple shows. That's what I mean. So at least for games, handful of shows. But there's not, it's so much space to not have other fun things going on. And it's such an opportunity to develop that area and bring more people. Because think about people who, like a lot of people don't want to go to downtown Milwaukee. And I get it. Like if you don't like parking, it can be stressful. If, you know, and but like that's kind of a mid for people who live in the western suburbs. So if we consider Waukesha a suburb, but Brookfield, West Allis and stuff. And so like West, I mean, that's basically is West Allis. But just it's another area that could be
a deer district, right?
A deer district of something that has bars and restaurants. And I know that they're up on like North Ave and stuff. Like there are local fun established pubs.
Right.
But, you know, I know there is one of those golf simulator things now at AmFam. But, like, stuff like that, like, stuff to do and stuff that, like, utilizes the area for year-round and gives people another destination of things to do. And there just feels like a disincentive from doing that if the people who would invest in trying to open businesses there and then, like, I don't know. Like, there's just something there that just feels like not the best deal for taxpayers in what was in Evers' proposal. But it's sounding like it doesn't matter anyways because Voss said yesterday that it's likely dead and that he supports crafting a new plan.
Because theirs will be better. Here's my thing. The ask never ends with sports teams. The ask never ends. Give me this big, shiny new building. It's going to be great. We're going to bring all kinds of money into the community, which they do. And I understand the importance of major league sports, certainly in a city like Milwaukee and a state like Wisconsin. And I appreciate that. But there is, at least I am resentful that the ask never stops. And if we require them to stay another 20 years, and in 20 years, AmFam isn't going to be any good anymore.
Yeah.
And now we need a new one.
Yeah.
And then we'll have another extra sales tax for how many years, which once it sunsets, 2 years after that, it'll be like, oh, wait, we forgot.
Because that's basically exactly what happened.
Yes.
I mean, the sales tax finally was done 2 years ago, just in time for it to say,
oop,
well, now it's an old stadium that needs renovations.
Whoopsie.
And yeah, and I feel like is there no more creative ways to generate revenue, like with a beer district or things that, because basically in the same way we talk about bids, like the Fiserv and like the deer district is now its own bid, which is like business investment district. And there's certain parts that are downtown. And so like that is like you pay in and like you take care of the district. And so that's the same thing with the baseball district. And like, is there no more creative ways than just taxpayers funding it to raise revenue for the Brewers? And so I don't know what a Republican plan would look like. I don't know if this is just an opportunity to not give Evers a win, so they'll come up with their own plan. And they were, you know, PO'd that he didn't let them know ahead of time or whatever, and just like the petty politics of it. Or if they actually have a better plan in place that they think could, is not just like, here's a bunch of money just for you to stay. Because I would be in favor of that. I feel like there needs to be a little bit more skin in the game besides, oh, you're so lucky that we just don't leave the state.
I would like to see some people offer to take some salary cuts.
Good luck. Good luck on that.
Well, exactly.
Speaking of salary cuts, though, because we got to go to break. Alex Jones for being broke.
Alex Jones of InfoWars?
Of InfoWars. Certainly has kind of is suggesting a pretty good deal for himself. So when we come back, we got we got a variety of updates when it comes to right-wing media and maybe their looming implosion. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick with us. Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And there's three stories that I feel like kind of all fall in. Maybe this is approaching the end, but maybe not.
Oh, I don't
Probably
know about
not.
That.
So we don't talk about Alex Jones a lot, but I couldn't help but stun myself. When, you know, we last fall, he lost his defamation case. And, you know, the Sandy Hook families that had sued him won $1.5 billion against the conspiracy monger.
Because he had said that Sandy Hook
not
was
defamation,
a hoax.
Yes, but not defamation, but in damages.
Yes.
Because he had repeated his assertions that the 2012 school shooting in Newton, Connecticut was a hoax. So I just don't know. Like, I don't know how this maths. Like, I don't know how this, I don't know the legal system well enough to know how this is even possible. But
okay.
Alex Jones pitches bankruptcy plan that would make him $520,000 a year.
I'm confused.
Same. So, you know, it's nice work. Nice work if you can get it. But it's a bankruptcy plan that was laid out by Alex Jones's media company that would guarantee Alex Jones $520,000 a year, so $10,000 a week. And, you know, so meanwhile, the Sandy Hook shooting victims, whose lives he, you know, blighted, would share an annual $7 million to $10 million payout that is obviously a far cry from the $1.5 billion. And so his company is called Free Speech Systems, which is the InfoWars parent company. So they're appealing the various rulings against Jones, and Jones himself has filed for personal bankruptcy. And the company filed its proposed reorganization as part of its Chapter 11 bankruptcy case in Houston. But I don't understand how if you file bankruptcy, whether it's personal or your company, how do you justify continuing to pay one person's salary of $520,000? Like, don't you basically have to go down to the minimum wage?
I would certainly think that if you or I had to declare bankruptcy after being sued, we wouldn't be able to get a deal where someone's going to pay us $500,000 a year.
No.
And so if anyone listening is a bankruptcy attorney, we would love to hear from you at 844-967-2789. How does that work?
How does this, I mean, because this is further in the AP article. So Free Speech Systems, which has more than 40 employees, under this plan that they proposed, would pay $780,000 to $940,000 per year altogether to its workers. I love how, I don't know, I wonder if that includes the $520 for Alex.
I think that's separate.
And so I feel like once you file for bankruptcy, isn't the part of the deal that you have to cut costs, at least, if not, like, liquidate the company?
and sell off assets.
So it's like, I understand, but like the stuff that they hawk, the diet pills and stuff, they make millions of dollars from that. So I don't know what hide the money game that they're playing that, and I can't even imagine how exhausting this is of trying to actually get what is due versus just hide the ball.
Yeah. Actually, those families actually ever seeing any kind of payout will really be miraculous, yeah. I think.
So, I mean, I think we all kind of secretly, not so secretly, were so happy when the rulings came against him. It's just, is there actually any ramifications that are going to happen? Besides
right.
the ruling itself, will there be any accountability?
Financial, and it's got to...
getting paid $520,000 a year still doesn't seem like accountability.
Oh, it's a curse, Kristen. It's a curse.
God, what would you do with $520,000?
I can't even... I would sleep for a month.
Because in the top of the noon hour, we're going to talk about... There's a new study that came out that basically contradicts the 2010 study that after $75,000, your happiness really plateaus of how much more happiness you can gain by making more money. And now a new study is saying, oh, no, never mind. Money definitely makes you happier. And so
a whole lot more money.
So we're going to talk about that at noon. But that's what I mean. Like Alex Jones, if you're making 502, that's like the cap of what that study says. Like, can't be that upset.
Happy guy.
Does not seem like a happy guy. In reality. But then I saw this break. Jenna Ellis, former Trump lawyer, is censured in Colorado for false election claims.
No kidding.
Yep. Jenna Ellis, the Colorado attorney, who was former President Donald Trump's senior legal advisor as he tried to overturn his 2020 election loss, has been censured by a Colorado judge for misconduct. The public censure order was signed Wednesday by presiding disciplinary judge Byron M. Large, who oversees lawyer discipline cases in Colorado. And as a part of the agreement in the case, Ellis admits, this is important, Ellis admits that multiple statements she made in late 2020 about the presidential election being stolen were misrepresentations.
But she wouldn't say lies.
No.
See, and so that means nothing then. Oh, censure, bad lawyer. No. Disbar her. Take away your license to practice law.
Yeah. Well, it's something. Because there really hasn't been much accountability for any of these people yet.
And
beyond the people who were on the ground.
And who did she admit to that these were misrepresentations? Did she go on Fox News and do a segment and say,
no.
and make a mea culpa there? Did she go on, the malicious mainstream media and have an apology to her for lying to the American people all those months? No.
Well, and, and this obviously then leads into the story of this week.
Oh, I love this.
Is that through this $1.6 billion Dominion case, Tucker Carlson's texts have come out that he does not like President Trump. And... and it's funny because the New York Times tweeted this story out. I can't even imagine being the content mediator for New York Times because they just get it from everyone. But, this happened the same week that Tucker Carlson put out his first edits of the January 6th footage that he got exclusively so far.
That he whitewashed.
Yeah, that he, there's images of the Capitol Police walking with the shaman and stuff. And so I haven't seen what he put, but I obviously know that there's a lot of people who are now using that as saying, see, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, that's a lie.
And it's funny because with his tweets that got leaked, that was the response to the New York Times posting the tweets or posting the texts Oh, this is clearly a red herring to get us not to talk about his videos and the video that dropped and how we should all be obsessing about the video and the conspiracy to bury it. And it's like, how do you just ignore that just these texts are here as part of a lawsuit and discovery and it's real, but just will not accept?
But don't forget, Fox is not talking about this.
I know.
And so if that's the only place their audience goes to be informed, they don't even know about this lawsuit or the they might know it in the periphery of their brains, but if Tucker's not talking about it, it's not happening. If Laura's not talking about it, why should I care?
Well, it's also interesting because do you think Newsmax or OAN is talking about it at all?
Well, I would think that they'd both want to be careful that they're not next.
Yeah. But it's interesting to me because they are competitors. And that's what we've found in what has been released as far as the motives behind Fox News and their decision to continue to push the big lie was because they were fearful of losing their audience.
Oh, yeah.
To Newsmax and OAN.
And Tucker was worried about the stock prices.
And so as far as like the financial motivations to tell their audience the lies that they wanted to hear. So it's like if you were actually a competitor, would you make the content choice if you're OAN or Newsmax to be talking about it? Or is it just because you were all pushing the same lie that you're there also just ignoring it entirely?
Well, again, I'm sure they would love to go after Fox and make them look bad. But as you say, they push the same horse medicine. And I'm sure they're walking a very fine line.
Yeah.
Let's see where the audience goes.
Let's see
where the audience goes.
Well, at least to have some fun with this. The late night hosts certainly had some fun with us, and we picked some of the different clips of their reaction to Tucker Carlson's text message about how he really feels about the former president.
This is Stephen Colbert.
Perhaps the biggest hypocrite at Fox News is top-rated primetime host Tucker Carlson, seen here watching E.T. die. Even though Tucker has publicly defended the former president, the court filings show that on January 4th, 2021, Carlson wrote privately, "I hate him passionately." What? What? You hate him, but talking about him is the thing that pays your big salary. This is like finding a text from the infomercial guy that says, "Someone please get me paper towels. This stupid ShamWow just kind of moves it all around." These filings reveal all sorts of damning private communications from Tucker Carlson. But these communications, you see, they're just texts. There's no audio. But The Late Show has used cutting-edge AI technology. And this is true. We created a fake Tucker Carlson sound-alike to read his actual words from his actual texts, like when he actually wrote this about the former president.
That's the last 4 years. We're all pretending we've got a lot to show for it because admitting what a disaster it's been is too tough to digest. But come on, there isn't really an upside to Trump.
Wow. Well, I know that really sounds like Tucker's voice, but that's not really him speaking. And the way you can tell that's not really Tucker is that he was saying what he actually believes on TV.
And you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of John Stewart that we played earlier in the week when he was talking to that Oklahoma state lawmaker about guns and solving the problem to everything is to give more guns.
Yeah.
And for Fox, their audience wants nothing but ice cream, so they give them ice cream. And that's all they're going to give them. They don't care if it's a well-balanced meal. They don't care if their audience becomes obese. They want ice cream. That's what we're going to give them.
Absolutely. And it's like, does it end anywhere?
If they lose.
I mean, so does it only end if they go bankrupt, which we just talking about Alex Jones' case may not even mean anything because of the appeals and how much they can still pay themselves and protect their money and protect their interests. And so even play this out, that they lose this case, does that even change anything? Or is there enough lawyers and sharks in the world to have this never end and have enough viewers and enough of an audience that it doesn't matter and it doesn't have to?
FCC might actually have to do something.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. All right. There's a bit of a dilemma that for Adidas right now. What would you do if you were sitting on $1.3 billion worth of sneakers that you couldn't do anything with? We'll talk about it when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And throwback to October, November. When was Kanye?
At the White House?
No. When was Kanye
Mar-a-Lago?
No, like when he was going on the rounds of like basically saying all those anti-Semitic things when he got canceled he lost his contract with Adidas. Is that last fall? And, you know, I think a lot of people were kind of like, why did it take Adidas so long? As he was press conference, interview after interview of saying pretty awful things.
October of 22.
So it was October. Okay. And the fact is that now that they cut ties with him, they're still stuck with $1.3 billion of his sneakers. And so they're floating ideas of what they can do with them. Because, you know, like anyone who got a bad tattoo that is like a Chinese symbol that isn't actually translated to the thing that they thought it was going to be, they're stuck with a very expensive reminder that they now have to figure out what to do with all this retail. And so no one really knows how to get rid of it, because during an earnings call yesterday, the new Adidas CEO made it clear that ditching its unwanted Yeezy stock is a top priority, but they're sort of stuck on what to do with it. Because like burning it or trashing it would be unsustainable.
Right.
And like a nightmare for climate change. Donating the shoes could create a boom in the resale market as far as people, you know, wanting to
monetize it. Why would that be bad?
Because I think they're trying to eliminate, because anything, so now if they're not going to make any more, it now creates, I don't know, it creates a market, like a black market for something that's dries up the price. You're also not in the StreamYard anymore. And then even if Adidas rebrands item and sells them, then Yee also gets a profit.
Oh. I would like to see them donate them, but I guess I can understand the dilemma.
So the most likely option is that they are going to donate them and then have the proceeds go to charity.
And that's, I mean, isn't that a tax write-off for them?
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, they're a European company, so I don't know how taxes could work for them. But that was the vaguely upvoted like solution in yesterday's call. There was a quote that said, if we sell it, I promise the people who have been hurt by this will also get something good out of this. And I just think it's an interesting dilemma that they're in, as far as like, in one way, in my opinion, they did the right thing, but not without a, a major loss. And so, the company is expecting an operating loss of over $730 million this year. And at the last time Adidas reported a loss, George H.W., so W1, was president, and Wayne's World was still a new movie.
Wow.
So it was 31 years ago. So it's been a profitable, like, in the black company for a very long time. And this one partnership, I think, unless there's other stuff going on at the company that I don't know about, is causing this issue.
Well, was he the only moneymaker they had?
No. I mean, Adidas is a huge brand.
Right.
But, I mean, if it's $1.3 billion of merchandise, it's a lot of money for these. And the shoes are so ugly. I can't even, you know, like, you think Crocs are ugly? They basically look like more aerodynamic Crocs.
But have you seen Kanye's clothing line?
I've seen some.
It's the most hideous thing I have ever seen.
And it's so expensive.
Yes, it's absurd. And if I were Adidas, maybe you should rethink some of your life choices and who you're going to partner with.
Yeah.
And, but.
Well, I think when the partnership, I mean, he's always been a little.
Different.
Eccentric. But I think this partnership predates like 2016. So this wasn't something that was like a recent. Yeah. And so it just became untenable as of last year.
How much does he charge? I mean, how much were the shoes?
I think they were like $300 or $400.
Are you kidding me?
For sneakers? Anyways, you said that we have a traffic update.
We do have a traffic update. And if you're in Milwaukee County, just want to give you a heads up about this. Southbound 41, all lanes are closed from Pioneer Road to Highway 45 because of a crash. Southbound 41, all lanes are closed. Southbound 41 from Pioneer Road all the way to Highway 45 because of a crash from the state DOT. So be aware of that. You want to avoid that if you can. Find some way to get around that. And tomorrow as well, with the snow coming, we will be doing updates and cluing you in here and there as to what's going on. But that website is really, really useful, 511wi.gov. So that has the whole state map and all the accidents and all the full closures and cameras and all kinds of things. So you can take advantage of that.
You can take advantage of that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then coming up in the next hour, we are going to kick off by apparently money does buy happiness. And talking a little bit about that report, especially since it goes against a previous report saying that there was a threshold that as long as you were making this amount of money,
You were good.
That turns out, maybe not so much. And then we're going to be talking to Corey Hartman at 12:20, who is our engineer extraordinaire, but also our internal weather expert. So he's going to give us an update on what we can expect for the snow storm watch for tonight. And then at 12:30, Sarah Godlewski is going to be here, and we're going to be talking about Women Win Wisconsin and some of the rallies that they have coming up in from between now and the spring election, which is in 26 days.
Coming up.
So you should check your registration. Tell your friends to check their registration. They can still register to vote online. You can check your ballot. And that's about it. So that will do it for the first hour, newsy hour. We're going to break for the top of the hour news. Come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Basically, what we're gonna do is dance. Yeah, that's right, it's sneaker night. Basically, what we're gonna do is dance.